Needless to say, after that reading, the children of Israel were lost. They woke up one day and had realized they had followed a man they did not know, Moses, and they had trusted a God whom they did not really have faith in. They had left a life of predictability and for all they understood, comfort. You see, they had lived hundreds of years in a cycle of turmoil and abuse, but it was the life they knew. Just as a child raised in abuse, it is simply the life the Israelites understood. It was the only reality they knew. And unless intentional change is sought out, life has a really predictable way of repeating itself over and over again. This is the cycle that the Hebrew people understood, and Moses and God had asked them to break with their past, to leave their predictable, albeit tumultuous, existence and walk in the wilderness. You see, in biblical study, we understand that the wilderness is a metaphor. It's for that time in our lives where we struggle, fortify, we dream and we plan and we make goals and we work to better ourselves and our relationships. We see one moment of this metaphor in our scripture passage today. It takes place not long after God's people had witnessed all the plagues that God had sent Egypt. And the parting of the Red Sea. You see, they had seen all of this. And they believed God could do that and so much more. But it's kind of like when you first start dating a real smooth talker and charmer. Like, you love being with them. They made you feel really good, right? But you don't really know them or trust them. What if they used those same gifts against you? You see, God was big and powerful and liberating. But what were the people supposed to do out there in the wilderness? Just trust that God would have their back? Why would they think that? What had God ever really done to show consistent kindness to them? Was this not the same God that had seemingly left them in slavery for 400 years? I know many of us have similar questions too. Why should I trust God? And I don't know if all of those questions can be answered. At least not today. But what I do know is that God wants to provide for us. God wants to keep showing up for us so God can be with us. Let's take a minute to look at that. Let's pray. Gracious God, be with us today. Be in this place with us as we look at your promises to show up. Speak now, because we are demanding answers. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. I heard a story when I was a little girl. It went a little something like this. There was a man whose town was going to be flooded. And the local officials came around and said, "Have you heard about the storm that's coming? We have an evacuation in place for your street." The man, "Oh, please. The weatherman's totally blowing that out of proportion. I'm fine to stay." Understanding that the man had the right to choose his own life or death, the official left and went on to the next home. Now, of course, that night the rain came, the wind blew, and the storm raged on. And as the waters began to rise, the man realized, in fact, his home would be flooded. So he wrapped up his belongings and got into the boat that was on his driveway. He covered himself with a tarp and began to feel the water lift his boat off of its trailer. The entire time under the tarp, the man begins to pray, God, please deliver me from this storm. A few hours later, a man with supplies comes around on his boat and offers him food and water and even a tow back to where there is safe ground for him to be on. Our man replies that he does not think that this is his best option, and he would rather stay where God could come and rescue him. So he begins to pray again, God, please deliver me from this storm. Eventually, the storm begins to lighten, but not vanish completely, and a woman flying a helicopter arrives overhead and asks the man to climb up her rope ladder so she can take him to safety. Oh, but he replies, that does not sound like my best option, because I believe God will come and deliver me. So as the storm picks up, the man covers himself again with the tarp and prays all night long for God to come through for him. The storm rages on, the wind blows, and the rain continues to fall. The boat was not built for this kind of weather, so without warning and shockingly to the man covered in his tarp, the boat flips over. In a moment of panic, the man tries to turn it over and eventually realizes he is trapped in the tarp that was supposed to protect him. He drowns. As he enters into heaven, he begins to wonder in his mind and then verbally as he arrives at the feet of his Creator, why didn't you save me? I prayed and I prayed. You never showed up. God simply sighs. I was always trying to help you. I sent you an official to warn you and evacuate you. I sent a larger boat to tow you to safety, and I even sent a woman with a helicopter to lift you from your self-imposed prison. And instead, you stayed where you were and let your pride and your own plans for safety be your downfall. Sometimes we miss God moving, because God does things a little differently than our human pride can handle. God wants to provide for us. Are we listening? Is the question. The same was true for the Israelites in our scripture passage this morning. The Hebrew people were going through the wilderness. They were tired, worn out, and scared. They began to question their leadership. Why was Moses not taking better care of them? If he had just stayed out of it, at least they would have had a roof over their head and food on their plates. Yes, I know, of course, it would have been a slave's roof and scraps left over from the master's table. But at least it would have been promised to them. What has this God character ever done for them? God hasn't been around in hundreds of years, so what the Hebrew people needed to learn was that God wanted to show up for them. Just today, God wants to provide for us. When we allow God to be God and work in ways we cannot see, then possibly God can do more with the bigger picture to work to our good than we can do for ourselves with our limited point of view. We are reminded of this in the New Testament when Paul writes to the church of Philippi, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Paul knew, because he had experienced it himself and had history of his people to back up his understanding, that God is in fact working for our good. Some of you may know this adage. There was once a young woman who was newly married, She went to make her husband dinner one evening and pulled out a beautiful roast. She set up her ingredients, and everything was ready to assemble. And just as the husband walked in, the wife cuts off the entire end of the roast and goes to throw it away. He stops her quickly and asks, "Why are you doing this?" She responds, "Because, well, it's the way my mom taught me to do it." The next day, she calls her mother and asks, "Why did you teach me to cut off the end of the roast before I cooked it?" Her mother quickly responds, "Because that is the way my mother had always taught me to do it." So quickly they called up the family matriarch and asked, "Why do you perform this action this way?" The grandmother laughs and says, "Because I never had a roasting pan big enough to cook the whole thing." So through every generation that followed, they could have been cooking the entire roast the whole time, but they trusted that the best way to do it had been the way it had always been done, because it had proved to be good. No questions asked, because the knowledge that it was good had always been there. See, Paul had the knowledge that God was working to his good, trust, faith in that certainty. And the good of the people that followed God was sure to be there. Now we just need to go back to the origin of that trust. See, the history of belief started with God providing for the Israelites in that wilderness period. The story goes like this. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. When we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger." And then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out, and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they will bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." God heard their cries, worries, and complaints. But rather than smiting them for questioning God, God agreed with them. Of course they would need food. Of course they would need to care for themselves. But rather than letting them gather enough for weeks at a time in order to be self-sufficient, God said, "I'm going to be faithful to you every day. Every single day." So God, every morning, gave them manna. Manna, as we understand it, is like bread. And every morning, the people were asked to trust that God would come through with them, for them. Later in our passage, we learn that God also did the same thing for meat. So God gave them meat and bread every day, simply because God wanted them to learn to trust in God and the provision that God wants to give to all of us. Have you ever wondered what God's doing in your life? Where the heck is this all-provisional, powerful God? We sing here at Life Journey about how God is a way maker and a chain breaker. See, that understanding of God is rooted in this story and many others just like it. God made a way for the Israelites to have food in the most barren times of their existence. God broke the chains of their oppressors and freed them from centuries of slavery. So where is God for us? Where are we in the wilderness with God? Can God even hear our cries, our worries, and complaints? Some of you are going through the wilderness. We've lost everything as we perceive it. Our homes have been destroyed. Our loved ones were taken too soon, or our jobs were lost. We need God to show up. The thing I believe, though, is It's that God's already here. God is already working to complete a good work in us because it has already begun. Many of us have seen what a chain breaker God can be. We've overcome insurmountable events and traumas in our life. As many of you know, I grew up Southern Baptist. And my dad was a carnival evangelist. We traveled on the carnival circuit to tell people at the county and state fairs about Jesus. It was a very adventurous way to grow up, needless to say. I'll tell you about it sometime over coffee. However, it was not always so clear to me why we were doing this, and if the way we were sharing the gospel with people was the most helpful. You see, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I met my first gay couple. Their faces stand out as clear to me today as it did back then. My dad was a wood sign carver. We made signs and wood cutouts for people to hang in their homes. So it might say, the Hasties, Samantha and Jess, established 2000, right? Like, you get the idea. He was a really true artist. So it was really common for people to want to have their names displayed together on their wood sign. But whenever a gay couple would come, starting with this first one that I can remember, my dad would refuse to put their names together on a sign. He said it would be condoning their sinful choice to live out of the will of God for their lives. And beginning with this first one, and many more after, I had to be the one to tell them he would not make their sign. For any child, but especially one that would turn out to be queer herself, to reject people for simply existing sets a tone for separation. My dad was a good man, and he did his very best. You see, later in life, he changed this policy and instead made sure to give them extra pamphlets telling gay people about Jesus. He felt like this was a better way than like just turning away completely. And I agree, right? But for most of my childhood, he held firm to this rejection stance. So when I was navigating my own desire and search for faith, you can see now why Christianity and God were not my first choice. I interpreted my father's rejection of those gay people as rejection for me, an undoubtable rejection from God as well. It wasn't until I picked up my Bible one day in a moment of anger and demanded answers, similar to the Israelite people demanding answers in the wilderness. I randomly opened it and turned to the first page that showed itself to me. And this is what I read. Now, this is long, but read it aloud with me. Fill it. Let it fill you. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I settle in the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall overcome me, and the light around me becomes night, even the darkness is as light to you. Oh, Did I miss it? There it is. For it was you who formed my inward parts. Yes, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes held my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end, and I am still with you. I come to the end, and I am still with you. God thinks about us. God knows us. God wants us. Hallelujah. I read a great story online the other day. A man was talking about his daily prayer routine, and he was mentioning what had happened that morning. He says, I was kneeling in prayer in the front room of our house at 6:30 in the morning. I just confessed sins and was asking God for a blessing that day, needing to feel loved by God. Our little boy, Timothy, who's 22 months old, had just gotten up, and I noticed out of the corner of my eye that he had sneaked quietly into the front room. He's always quiet in the morning when I'm praying because his mom tells him to be. But this time, he ambled straight over to me, put a hand on my clasped hands, and said, Hi, special one. Hi, special one. Hi, special one. Never once has he called me that before. And six times he called me special one. He said it enough for me to actually get it. That God was speaking to me and giving me a blessing. There is no doubt in my mind that sometimes we will make our way to the depths of our life. We will hurt, be angry, be hungry, be lonely, be homeless. And we will grieve in ways that no other person could possibly understand. Yet God is with us. God is making a way because that is what God does. We may not be able to feel it yet, to see it yet, but I have no doubt in my mind that God sees us right now in the lowest of our lows and is working vehemently to bring us out of it. Are we letting God work to our good, though? The Israelites struggled with this, as I am sure many of us do as well. Remember back with me to our passage in Exodus. God said that the manna and meat would be provided so they could never doubt that God had their backs. They were instructed only to gather what they needed for that day because they could trust that God would show up for them tomorrow. We read in our story, this is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs. An omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their tents. The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less, and when they measured it with an omer, I'm just guessing, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as any of them needed. Everyone trusted. Bye. Wouldn't that be a nice end of the story? Check done. Yes! But we know life isn't that simple, right? And God still had to prove God's self to these hurting people. It's okay to ask God to keep showing up. And it's okay to question if God will. God can take the doubt. We're talking about the creator of the universe, after all, y'all. If God can care enough to create mosquitoes, an octopus, and crazy Pekingese puppies, it's my dog, then indeed, with no doubt in my mind, God can be trusted to complete a good work in us too. And just like the Israelites in our story, sometimes doubt and questioning is just where we are. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over until morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them, because morning by morning they gathered it as much as each needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted. Let no one leave any over until morning. Because remember, no one had collected more than they needed for that day, right? Everyone had measured it, and it was all the perfect portion. However, some did not listen. Imagine with me for a moment, because I know some of you are parents or are caring for elderly people in your life. Because the pragmatic thinking person might say, well, if they're measuring to make sure I don't take more than my portion for the day, but I'm still not sure what will be there tomorrow, what should I do? I imagine some of these people worried about themselves, and some worried about their children and the elderly around them. Food was sparse, and the worry about whether God would actually show up tomorrow was real. The intention behind the doubt was completely understandable from where I stand. The pragmatic person might go on to say, instead of eating my entire portion and being well today, I will ration out what I have and go just a little bit hungry today so I can have enough tomorrow. How many of us are living a half life today so we can live a half life tomorrow? Let me say it again. How many of us are living a half life today so we can live a half life tomorrow? Jesus reminds us in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. God wanted to give the Hebrew people reason to believe, to trust, not so they could worry even more. God gave them manna and meat so they could embrace God as faithful and just to complete a good work in them. Some of them tried to keep portions from the previous day, and those portions spoiled. They were no good because they were the portions of doubt and seeds of disbelief. Keep in mind, on a practical level, this was also a time before trash pickup days and landfills where we could pretend our waste did not matter. The spoiling bread and meat stunk up the place. It told everyone around them that they doubted in God. Is not a half-life, even today, a message of the same thing to our neighbors? People can see when we're doubting, and when we have complete trust in God to show up every day. It's like an odor that comes off of us. God calls us to trust God, to provide enough for each day. If we are faithful, God will prove faithful. And just like for the people of Israel, so too for us today. God keeps showing up. Morning by morning, they gathered it as much as each needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted. God will always be working for our good. That is a promise that even in our lowest and leanest of times, we can hold on to. Hold on, special one. God sees you, and God knows what you're going through. Lean into the certain knowledge that God is coming to make a way and break those chains. You are not alone in the wilderness. Stop living a half-life today in hopes of having a half-life tomorrow. Live a life of abundant trust today, knowing with certainty that God has got you tomorrow. Thanks be to God.